Thanks for tuning into The Image Check with Pastors Claude and Rosa Bevere and the Image of God Christian Center Church family. God's Word tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being changed into the same image. We believe that as we look into the mirror of the Word of God, we are being changed. So prepare your heart and minds today as we together discover our true identity in Christ.
St. John chapter 10. We're going to conclude the subject where we're still talking on the seven pillars. And what we end up doing is the first time we talked about the giving part. And then we talked about understanding the kingdom of God. A message called Unplugged. Amen. You need to go on the internet. The downloads are free. You can go to www.iogccchurch.com and you can go over to eStore and all of the messages are there and you could just download them for free. Amen. If you want to be a blessing to us, and we ask that you do, amen. You know, just you can pop a little small donation in there, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Amen. Because we want to graduate from doing it on the internet. Somebody say on the internet. To getting hard copies for people, amen. And that's going to cost us about $1,000 to get the machine that we need, amen. Somebody say praise God. Amen. So how many people want to get the messages on CD? Raise your hand, honestly. Amen. So many people call me and ask me for the messages. Matter of fact, somebody this morning asked me for the messages on CD. But this is a way that you can help us do it. You can go online, amen, and you can make a small donation towards the messages that are on there. There's no obligation. You can download them for free. Or you can go online and you can get them. You can say, you know what, I'm going to pop $5 in there. Or I'm going to pop $50 in there. Or somebody can pop $500. I don't care what you pop in there, just pop it in there. Amen. Is that all right? Praise God in heaven. Man, I got a powerful message today. And Jesus, I'm asking you to teach through me. Think through my mind and speak through my lips. Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Amen. My God, Jesus is so good. John chapter 10, verse 10. This is the conclusion of the giving side. Somebody say the giving side. And we went over our seven pillars. Amen. What is our seven pillars? The first one was what? Anybody remember the first pillar? Reverence. What is the second pillar? Worship. The third pillar? Praise. The fourth pillar? Giving. The fifth pillar? Anointing. The sixth pillar? Meditation. And the seventh one is what? Confession. Amen. These are seven pillars that will make every believer strong. Amen. You got to be strong in the Lord. Amen. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians to be strong in the Lord. He didn't say be strong in your own power. Strong in your own might or strong in your own intellect. We have to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen. Because your and my strength will fail. I'm going to tell you that right now. Our strength will fail. Amen. But as long as you stay abiding and connected in the vine. Amen. There is an unlimited resource of strength that comes from the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you. Amen. How do you stay connected in the vine? John chapter 15 teaches us that if we stay in the Word and the Word remains in us, we'll bring forth fruit. Amen. So you can't say that you're abiding in Jesus if you're not meditating the Word on a regular basis. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. My God. Here we go. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief cometh not. And listen, if you want to title this message anything today, I want you to title it, Keep Dreaming, because it's harvest time. I want you to title it, Keep Dreaming, because it's harvest time, okay? Now, I want to put some hope in somebody's spirit today. Keep dreaming, because it's harvest time. The thief cometh not. Who comes not? The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. It's very important that you keep the Bible in the order in which it was written. A lot of people like to say, well, the thief come to kill, steal, and destroy. No, no, no. Jesus didn't say that. He said the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. So if there's any stealing happening in your life, it's not God. If there's any death happening in your life, it's not God. If there's any destruction happening in your life, it's not God. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, please don't blame God. The Bible says the thief comes. Now, before I move to the B part of this verse so you can see what Jesus came to do, I have to describe what is happening here. Stealing, killing, and destroying. The devil don't come to steal your car. The devil don't come to steal your wife. The devil don't come to steal your house. He don't come to steal your food off your plate. The devil comes to steal the word out of your heart. Because if he can get the word out of your heart, he can get everything else that you have. Here is the process. In the book of Genesis, the Bible says that God gave Adam a commandment. He told him, of every tree that is in the garden, you can freely partake of it. He said, but the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil, he said, don't you partake of that, because the day that you do it, you will surely die. Okay, so Adam and Eve partook of the tree, committed high treason and disobedience to God. Help me, Holy Ghost. And when they did that, what happened was is that they died spiritually. They didn't die naturally. The word death means to be separated. You need to understand that. So you can, when you die naturally, you separate yourself from everybody that you used to be connected with. When you die spiritually, you separate yourself from God. So what happened was, is that the enemy came in after God's word that was in God's man's heart. He stole the word. How does he steal the word? You and I are the only ones that give him the ability to steal the word. When we don't fortify our minds with God's word, we give Satan the ability to come in and within our heart give us that seed of doubt, that seed of unbelief. That seed of fear, that seed that what God said he was going to do is not going to come to pass. But I'm telling you something today. You're going to learn something today. You're going to learn how to put up your fight. And you're going to learn how to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Because the devil ain't coming after your stuff. Somebody keep telling the devil, let go of my stuff. The devil ain't got enough guts to get your stuff. He ain't got enough power to get your stuff. He don't walk up in your house and take your can opener from your house. The devil comes and takes the word out of your heart. And when he takes the word out of your heart, then guess what? You can't possess your stuff because you believe that God ain't for you. You believe that you're not capable. You believe that you're condemned enough where you can't attain what God has for you. So he comes to steal the word. Somebody say he come to steal the word. Once he steals the word, he kills you spiritually, because to be separate from the word is to be separate from God. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and all things that were made by him, and not one thing that was made without him. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. You need to understand something. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. What did it mean? It means that when the word gets into your heart, it illuminates and it causes you to be able to see things God's way. So guess what? The devil comes in and he flicks the switch by causing doubt and unbelief to get inside of your heart, and then now you can't see things the way God wants you to see them. So he ain't after your stuff, baby. He's after the word. That's why he'll keep you out of the house of God. That's why he'll keep you from hearing what Pastor Claude got to say, or in another man of God. He'll keep you away from the word. Why? Because when you get that word in your heart, blip, the light comes on. The light comes on, and you begin to see the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, which is the image of God. You begin to see God's image pertaining to you, pertaining to your marriage, pertaining to your money, pertaining to your health. God's word is God's image. And the devil don't want you to see God's image. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Now the God of this world has blinded the minds of those which believe not. To not believe is to let the devil turn the light off on you. Glory to God. So he comes to steal. He comes to kill. And then once he steals that word from you and separates you from the word, he can destroy your physical life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He can't destroy your health until you separate yourself from his word. He can't destroy your money until you separate yourself from his word. As long as you got the word in you, you have faith. And as long as you have faith, you can access grace. And as long as you got grace, you can mobilize and materialize everything that's in the heavenlies and cause them to manifest right here in the natural. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. See, you and I have been duped. We are not limited to what we see out here. That's why I keep teaching kingdom talk. Because if you think as a believer you're limited to what you see out here, then guess what, baby? You're still in Babylon. You think that your source is your job, or you think that your source is your husband or your wife, or you think that your source is your talent or your skill, but your source is God. And wherever God is, there's always supernatural provision. There's always supernatural healing.
I heard a man of God say this right here, that guess what? Miracles is not in God's vocabulary. You want to know why? Because miracles is just the way God does stuff. But we call a miracle because we're not used to seeing them. We're not used to seeing legs grow out. We're not used to seeing babies that's been having twisted up faces then deformed come and line back up. Why? Because we think it's a miracle. But baby, when you step out of Babylon into the kingdom of God, you start seeing what God sees.
Glory to God.
See, it's imperative as a believer that you and I start seeing what God sees. And you can't see what God sees staying down on this natural plane. See, Babylon is where chickens peck around. But the kingdom of God is where eagles soar. And as long as you stay over in Babylon and obtain that mindset and keep walking in that mindset, you'll keep pecking like a chickens, waiting for somebody to throw you down some old used corn, baby. You got to get out of that mindset. Quit being dependent upon man. Get over here into the kingdom of God. Get over here and start believing the word of God. Come on, somebody say, the thief come to steal. See, the lies the devil will tell you is the reason why things are happening is because you did something wrong. Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Lord, have mercy. See, in the Old Testament, the garden was external. And the man was put there to dress it and to keep it. The man allowed whatever to come in the garden that he allowed. Matter of fact, the man was so powerful that whatever God brought the animals to him, whatever he named them, that was the name thereof. The man understood his dominion. Why? Because he walked with God in the cool of the day. God came and God revealed himself. And then the man began to see himself the way God saw him. He had on, like I told you the other day, he had on his God coat, or he had on his glory coat. But then when the word got taken out of his heart, his coat got taken off. And now he began to see himself as naked. He began to see himself as destitute. He began to see himself, come on, somebody say amen. He began to see himself opposite from the way that God wanted him to see himself. And the first thing he did is he covered himself. He covered himself. And he covered himself because he thought he was his source. He had forgotten that God was his covering. I'm here to tell you something. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now you have the ability, like I said last week, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh. You have the ability to put your God coat back on. And you have the ability to see yourself the way God sees you right now. You ain't got to wait till you fly away and go to heaven. Amen. Thank God. If I die, I want to go to heaven. Amen. But guess what? I want to live and enjoy life right now. So now let's get to what Jesus said. He said the thief comes to steal. Somebody say steal. He comes to kill. Then he comes to destroy. Jesus said, but I am come. Notice the word but there. Anytime you see but in the English language, it means kick out everything that was just said. He said, but I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Come on, somebody say abundant life. Now it's written in red so you know Jesus said it. Jesus did not come for you to suffer. Jesus did not come for you to be tormented. Jesus did not come for you to be beat down by the devil. Jesus came so you can have life. Now the word life there in the Greek is the word Zoe, which means life like God. The God kind of life. See, when you got born again, you got created in the God class. Lord have mercy, you got to catch what I'm saying. You were made in his image. You were made in his likeness. To see yourself outside of God is not to see yourself at all. I said something powerful. But when you're in Christ, now you can properly see yourself. You can properly estimate who you are. No man or no woman has the ability to see who they are except they are in Christ. Everything else is just a hoax. Everything else is just a counterfeit. You think you know who you are. Lord, have mercy. See, you haven't even really seen the real you, baby. The more you get into his presence, the more you get into his word, the more that mirror reflection of Jesus shines in your faith, according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, 18, and 19, it says, as he is, so are we right now here in this world. Yeah. Lord, have mercy. You got to see yourself the way God sees you. Look at this right here. The Amplified says, the thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and destroy. He said, but I am come that they might have and enjoy life. See, you're supposed to enjoy life. Come on, tell yourself that. Say, I'm supposed to enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. See, we're going to paint a new picture to your mind. See, because people think that Christians, you know what I mean, that's just supposed to suffer. I'm suffering for Jesus. No. Baby, you're supposed to obtain and walk in God's glory. Because that's how the Gentiles are going to see. When I say Gentiles, I'm saying unbelievers. When the unbelievers see how blessed you are, how you carry yourself, how anointed you are, how favored you are. Come on, somebody pick up what I'm putting down. When you see that for yourself, others are going to see it. But the reason why nobody else see you the way God sees you is because you don't see you the way God sees you. As long as you have an image that you're supposed to suffer and you're supposed to just be beat down and the things that are happening to you, you deserve them. Baby, guess what? As long as you see yourself like that, guess what? You're going to continue to be like that. And the way you see yourself, Lord, have mercy. See, when they were going over into the promised land, they couldn't obtain the promised land because the spies came back and said, you know what? The land is good. The fruit is good. But guess what? We couldn't get in there because we perceived ourselves to be like grasshoppers. See, they couldn't get into the promised land because of the way they saw themselves. God got a promised land for you. God don't always want you to be right there where you are right now. The Bible said we should be changed from glory to glory. That means that you should be climbing levels in faith. Lord, have mercy. You should be changing. Tell your neighbor, said, I should be changing. You shouldn't be staying the same. 2 years from now, people shouldn't see you, and you shouldn't be looking the same. You shouldn't be talking the same. You cussed 5 years ago, baby. You shouldn't be cussing now. You've been in the presence of God. Something should have changed. See, people think we're judging them when we're telling people to change. No, what I'm going to start telling people is that when you get in the presence, you can't do nothing but change. Because soon as you get in God's presence, guess what? You begin to see your weaknesses, and you begin to see your failures, and you begin to see who He is. You can't match. Lord, have mercy. Are you catching this right here? See, we left without excuse. Can't nobody talk about, well, I've been raised on this side of the tracks. I ain't had no daddy. I ain't had no mama. But Pastor, you don't know my life. Baby, guess what? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You should be changing. Matter of fact, you should want to change. When I see a scripture like this, I think to myself, God wants me to have the good life. God wants me blessed. Matter of fact, as a daddy, He's already pronounced a blessing over me. Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? Poverty, sickness, and death. I'm going to say it again. Poverty, sickness, and death. See, when sickness comes on a believer, guess what? It can't stay very long because the word is there. And as long as the word is there, that word gonna drive that thing out. Poverty can't stay very long in a believer's life. Why? Because the word is there. And when that word is there, it's gonna drive that thing out. Lord, have mercy. Fear can't stay in a believer's life very long. Why? Because the word is there. Perfect love drives out fear. They pull it on me, Dad. Glory to God. See, we should be shining. Amen. You better catch what I'm saying. We should be shining. Amen. We should be blinging. Yeah. Believers should be, we should be the best. Yeah. You better catch what I'm saying. You're going to find out it's just a matter of God's time, and everybody going to see the glory here. Everybody. See, it might be 70, 80, 100 people now, but it's just a matter of God's time. Not a matter of man's time, but it's a matter of God's time. Because guess what? God is still unveiling some things to me. See, I'm getting to see things a little bit more clearer. My God. The gospel gangster said, I can see clearly now. Baby, I'm starting to see clearly now. My eyes ain't blurred no more. My vision ain't blurred no more. You better catch what I'm saying. The light been turned on. Lord, have mercy. Jesus. Woo. Woo. My God. See, God gives a promise. And God gives a dream. When the promise is given, the thief immediately comes to steal the dream. He comes to steal the promise. You remember Joseph, don't you? Come on, somebody say Joseph. The book of Genesis in the 30 chapters, what happened was, is that Joseph got a dream from God. And when he got that dream from God, he began to open up his mouth. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, don't open your mouth. Because there's dream stealers and dream killers. See, some people can't handle what you saw from God. Some people can't handle it. See, you done went over here and said, beam me up, Scotty. And you done tapped into something that's unseen. And people that's natural and carnal minded, they ain't been there. So when you talk to them, it's vague to them. They can't understand it. But you know that you know that you know that you done saw something. My God. So Joseph said, I had a dream. And he said, guess what? The plants are going to bow down and all of this is going to happen. And his brothers and stuff start saying, you know what, man? You mean to tell me that you got a dream that we're going to bow down in obedience and worship you? Well, guess what? Joseph opened up his mouth. You got to be careful who you open up your mouth to, because some people will put your dream up on the cross with you carrying it. You better catch what I'm saying. Hang you up on the cross. But watch what happened. They began to sell him to the Chaldeans, put him in the pit, put him in the ditch. But he still had the dream. He was in the ditch with the dream. He was in the pit with the dream. With the dream. And guess what? He got out of that and ended up in prison. He was in prison with the dream. He was in prison with the dream. My God, he had a promise from God. He had saw something from God. And he was in the prison. And guess what? The Bible turned around and caused something to work in his favor, where he began to interpret somebody else's dream. And he went from the prison to the palace. But he still had the dream, and it wasn't completely manifested, because he was in the palace, but he was going to be over the palace. You better catch what I'm saying. See, it's one thing to be in the palace, but it's a whole nother thing to call the shots. See, the reason why you've been going through hell your whole life, why? You've been in that pit, you've been in that prison, you've been in that problem. Why? Because of that dream that you're carrying. Because of that promise that you're carrying. The devil wants to steal it from you. Lord, have mercy. So the wife came. She came and she had on a nice little tight skirt. And she walked up to him at Potiphar's house. And she tried to throw that thing on him. Tell you what I'm saying, she tried to throw that thing on him. And she threw that thing, and like a good man of God, he ran until his coat came off. She got mad because he wouldn't give in to her, and guess what she did? She went and lied and said that he raped her, or he forced her to have sex, and he went right back to the prison. But guess what? God sent a baker to him. God sent a butler to him. Lord, have mercy. And guess what happened? He came out of the prison, and he became to be the prime minister of Egypt. All the wealth came through his hands. I'm telling you something right now. There's about to be some wealth coming through your hands. See, you've been suffering. You better catch what I'm saying. You've been suffering. You've been giving. You've been sowing. You've been confessing. But there's about to be some wealth coming through your hands. See, you can call me the money preacher if you want to. Listen, I'm about to tell you something. The body of Christ ain't going to manifest the glory without being in charge. You better catch what I'm saying. This is our day. God has a set time and a set season for you and I. Lord, have mercy. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Then verse 9 says, don't be weary in well-doing. He said, because in due time, somebody say, due time. Due time, the word due, when I study the word due, every time I think about the word due, you know what I think about, Dad? I think about this, Greg Senior. I think about bills that are due. But I want to change your thinking. See, the devil owes you something. See, he owes you healing. He owes you prosperity. He owes you deliverance. It belongs to you. The word due means something old. It's your due time right now. Lord, have mercy. I'm going to show it to you in a word. See, God gives a promise. Say, God gives a promise. Soon as he gives it, the thief comes to steal it. Our work is to believe. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 says, if we only believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Genesis 8 and 22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. See, when you go to sleep at nighttime, there is an expectancy that you'll wake up and it'll be daylight. See, guess what? The news portrayed that we would have a storm, and people got it in their spirit and they start expecting it. Yesterday, when it wasn't even really cold outside and there wasn't no rain coming down, somebody told me, "Pastor, we are expecting a storm tomorrow." A man called me and got prepared to plow the snow 24 hours ago. Why? Because he was expecting a storm. Genesis 8 and 22 says, "As long as the earth remains, there will be seed, time, and harvest." We take the word seed and time and we put it together. But it's not. It's seed. Somebody say seed. Then there's time. And then there's harvest. Believers want the harvest, but they don't want to go through the process of time. See, we done sowed the seed, but now you got to go through the time. Why? Because to everything, there is a season. To everything, Ecclesiastes said, there is a time. That's why he said, don't get weary in well-doing. The word well-doing refers back to verse 7 in Galatians chapter 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. See, if a person ain't loving you right, then you sow love. If a person ain't forgiving you, then you sow forgiveness. See, if I'm a farmer and I want tomatoes, I'm going to plant what? If I want cucumbers, I'm going to plant what? If I want cantaloupe, I'm going to plant what? So if I want love, I'm going to plant what? If I want forgiveness, I'm going to plant what? If I want deliverance, I'm going to plant what? If I want healing, I'm going to plant what? Well, if I want money, I'm going to plant what?
Money.
Lord, have mercy. See, some people. See, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. The devil is mad. You know why the devil's mad? I'm going to tell you why he's mad. He's mad because I haven't taught on money for 3 years. And guess what? They say that this is the number one poverty-stricken city in the state of Michigan. And they say that Michigan is the number one poverty-stricken state in the country. Well, baby, I'm about to tell you something. Not anymore. You know why? Because it's the dreamers that are the saviors. See, whenever there's a problem, God releases a savior. You better catch what I'm saying. He ain't look at the world and say, oh, it's chaotic. There's a problem. There's something wrong. No, God didn't look at that. He reached in his pocket. He pulled out a seed. 1 Peter 2 says that we were born not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. Jesus was a seed. And then Jesus said, except a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it'll abide all one. But if it die, it'll bring forth much fruit. See, God is the original farmer. You're wondering why I'm yelling and screaming? Because I'm fired up. I'm fired up. I'm mad at the devil. Got everybody thinking that your provision come from that stupid old factory. Your provision don't come from that mess. God is your source. Man. See, God is pushing believers to where they are forced to live by faith. He's pushing believers to where they are forced to be creators. He's pushing believers to where you don't depend on no man's system. Glory to God. See, the kingdom of God has laws just like the world has natural laws. Just like the law of gravity. It has a predictable outcome. And I taught you this the other day, but I want to get it in your spirit. If I get on top of this building, I can predict if I jump, I'm going to go splat. If I take my hand and I turn the stove on and I put my hand across that fire, I can predict that my hand is going to get burned. See, a law is something when once it's implemented, it has a predictable outcome. That's what a law is. Well, guess what? That's Babylon. Romans chapter 1 teaches us that we can understand even the eternal Godhead by things that are seen. So he's telling us that, guess what? All truth is parallel. So if natural laws, once they're implemented, they have a predictable outcome because all truth is parallel. Help me, Holy Ghost. Spiritual laws, once you implement them, they have what? A predictable outcome. Just like if I put my hand on a fire, I can predict that I'm going to get burned. Just like if I jump off the building, I can predict that I'm going to hurt myself. If I get over here and start operating in the law of sowing and reaping, I can See, the devil wants you to think that your job is your source. Your talent is your source. Why am I harping on this? Why? Because it ain't. See, the laws of the kingdom is sowing and reaping. The Bible said the kingdom of God is like a man who plants seed into the ground. And he goes away and goes to sleep and he wakes back up and didn't know how the thing grew up. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, be a farmer. Be a farmer. Help me, Holy Ghost. Here's the solution. You ready? Things that are spiritual cannot be received or understood by natural means. You got to see this. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Turn it right quick. See, because this is the kind of stuff to get. See, you know why Creflo get in trouble? Not because he a money preacher, but because he done tapped into the kingdom. And he done understood something that was spiritual. And people who are natural minded can't understand it. So guess what they do? They talk about him. They think he a money preacher. He ain't a money preacher. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Lord, have mercy. Pastor Claude was called a cult teacher just a week ago. Not because I'm a cult teacher. Why? Because I done prayed and I done fasted and I done sought the face of God and I heard from heaven. I saw something in the kingdom of God. Why do you think the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 18, while we look not at things that are seen? Jesus in the boat. Just go to that scripture right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And then we're going to look at 14. But watch this. Jesus is in the boat. Say he in the boat. He knocked out sleeping. In the bottom of the boat. And the storm is beating. It's beating the boat. Back and forth. Back and forth. And then the disciples get up. And they're like, oh my God, we got to go wake Jesus up. Somebody say, wake Jesus up. So they ran over there and said, Master, Master, don't you care that we perish? This is a principle right here. That's what most Christians are still doing right now. They say, Master, don't you care that I'm going through this problem? Don't you care that I'm going through this sickness? Don't you care that I can't pay my bills? Don't you care? And then Jesus got up and he ran to the front of the boat and he said, peace, be still. And the Bible says the waves and the storm ceased. But he didn't stop right there. He turned around, looked at his disciples and he said, where is your faith? Now, why would he speak to the storm and turn around and ask them, where is your faith? I'm going to tell you why. Because they didn't have to wake him up. They could have spoke to the storm itself. Amen. See, somebody kingdom-minded caught what I said. See, a time is out for us acting like a bunch of no good, unintelligent, unscriptural believers. It's time for us to rise to the occasion. It's time for us to fight the good fight of faith. See, we don't fight like this. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If you find something happening in the world, I say it all the time, you and I have the ability to subdue and bring that thing into divine order until it obeys the word. Yes. Help me, Holy Ghost. Look at verse 14. The natural man receiveth. Circle the word receiveth. You know what receive mean? One translation means takes into possession or appropriates for oneself. See, the things of God that he has prepared for you have to be received spiritually. You can't receive them in the natural realm. Hear what I'm saying? You can't sit there and try to figure God out with your head. That's the problem right there. And then we got people preaching intellectualism to the body of Christ and everybody trying to figure God out. Christian science, Christian this, Christian that. That ain't Christian. The word Christian means to be like Jesus. Jesus didn't figure out God with his head. You hear what I'm saying? You're not going to figure it out with your head. You're not going to figure out why you're blessed already and it look like you ain't got no soup in your kitchen. See, God calls things that be not as though they were. God doesn't look at the situation and say, oh my God, you got a flat tire. No, God speaks to the rim. In order for you to receive God's things that he's prepared for you, you have to receive them spiritually. You got to be a person that worship God in spirit and in truth. You can't be hanging out in the club getting your freaknik on and sipping on scissor. I'm just being blunt and being, you can't be doing that. You can't be sleeping around thinking you're going to understand spiritual things. It's not going to happen. You'll be deprived of every promise of God. Do you know when the Bible says in the book of Galatians that the person that is a whoremonger, adulterer, and all this other stuff, and fornicator and all this, and then it says, I told you in times past that these kind of people will not inherit the kingdom? Not inherit the kingdom? Now, you need to read the Bible right. The word inherit means it belongs to you. So he's telling you, and he's not talking about heaven.
Hello, this is Claude Bevere, the senior pastor of that new and great thriving church, Image of God Christian Center. I'd like to personally thank you for your continued listening and support of our radio program, The Image Check. If our program has been a blessing to you and yours, please contact us and let us know how we have been a blessing to you by sending all letters and all financial contributions to Image of God Christian Center, P.O. Box 531, Adrian, Michigan 49221. You can contact our church office also at 517-417-0000 or visit us online at www.iogccchurch.com. My wife Rosa and I and our entire church family would like to invite you and your family and your friends out to one of our exciting new church services where you can discover who God is, you can discover who you are in Christ, and finally, discover what your God-given assignment is. We are conveniently located in the wonderful city of Adrian, Michigan at 1061 South Main Street. Our services are Sundays at 10:45 and Wednesdays at 6:45. Children, youth ministry, and nursery are provided for all services. Come on out and enjoy an explosive time in God's Word as we discover our true identity in Christ. God bless you.